Good day, everyone, and welcome to the SQM First Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. All participants are currently in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star and then one on your touch-tone telephones. To withdraw your questions, you may press star and two. Please also note that today's event is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Gerardo Yanez, Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to SQM's First Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and it's being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speakers are Patricio Zombeñac, Chief Executive Officer, and Ricardo Ramos, CFO. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitability, revenue, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Zombeñac, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Thank you, Gerardo. Good morning, and thank you for joining SQM First Quarter 2017 Earnings Conference Call. Last night, we posted our results for the quarter. Our net income reached $103.2 million, an increase of more than 70% when compared to the first quarter last year. Higher sales volumes were the reason we saw strong results. As announced last night, sales volumes were higher in every business line when compared to the first quarter last year. Strong sales volume trends will continue in iodine, where we expect them to increase approximately 15% this year compared to 2016. Furthermore, we believe SPM and lithium sales volume could be slightly higher than last year. Solar sold volume reached approximately 45,000 tons during the first quarter, and we believe volume could reach approximately 90,000 metric tons this year, almost 30% more than our previous expectation. Despite the higher sales volume, we reported in the potassium business line, our focus on lithium production will lead to a decrease in potassium chloride production in 2017, resulting in lower potassium sales volume of approximately 15% when compared with 2016. We have seen some price recovery in recent months and look forward to seeing market demand surpass the 60 million tons this year for potassium chloride. As we mentioned in the press release, we now believe that lithium demand could increase approximately 14% during 2017. As a result of this demand growth, coupled with the exceptional capabilities we have developed to produce lithium efficiently, we have decided to further expand our lithium capacity. We are pleased to announce that we will expand our capacity in Chile to 63,000 metric tons per year from our current capacity of 48,000 metric tons per year. This new capacity will let us serve the growing needs of the market even more efficiently. At the same time, our lithium project in Argentina remains on schedule, and we will make us the operator of what we believe will be the two most efficient lithium projects in the world. I thank you for joining the call today, and we'll now open up the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star and then one. To withdraw your questions, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, we do ask that you please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers to ensure the best sound quality. With these instructions in mind, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. We'll pause momentarily to assemble the roster. And our first question today comes from Isabella Simonato from Bank of America. Please go ahead with your question.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I have a question on lithium. Thinking about the project that you announced for 2018, and how do you think of prices for the next year? I understand that you are a little bit more optimistic for the second half of this year, but considering that our projects, aside from yours, that should come online next year, how can we think about price environment in the next year or two, and assuming it goes back to $8,000, $7,000 per ton, how do you think of the returns of that project? Thank you.
Thank you, Isabella. We have been very clear that we are very optimistic and I think with less risk on the demand side for lithium. We think that the demand is strong. We now believe that this year will increase 14%, and we're looking forward on the years to come also to keep a higher growth between 10 or 12%. So in order to answer your question regarding how we see the price, that will depend, of course, on the demand and supply balance, basically the risks are on the supply. Basically, in the past, the industry has not been very good and accomplished what it has promised, but we think that, of course, there are now projects that are starting and will be delivering products. So the main question is that all this new supply will be enough to balance or even have more product into the market. We think, as we indicated in the press release and in my comments, that for the rest of this year, we are more optimistic and maybe the price could go down less than we thought originally. And for 2018 or 2019, we believe and our estimate is that the price could go down some because of this new project getting in. Regarding the profitability of our expansion, we believe that we are one of the lowest cost producers. So even though if we see this price reduction in the levels that you indicated, the project will continue to be very profitable.
Great. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Ben Isakon from Scotiabank. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you very much. This is Carl Chen stepping for Ben here. So just I guess first question, you know, given the iodine prices are sitting at multi-year low right now, how much room is there for your production costs to go down to achieve more of a margin expansion? And if you could, what is the current state with your competitors given your kind of volume over price strategy in the iodine sector?
Thank you, Carl. Regarding iodine, we have been very clear in our strategy in the sense that we wanted to recover our market share. We at the same time have been doing a lot of efforts in trying to diminish our costs with our industrial restructuring that we have done in the past years. And this, in our opinion, has been working as we expected, even a little bit better. We have been recovering volumes that we wanted, and we have been able to diminish our costs. What we saw in the last quarter was much more volume than we had originally thought. And on the second hand, we have seen that the price has diminished their down, and even we see now for the next quarters a more stable price scenario. What will happen in longer term? Again, like my answer in lithium, will depend on the supply and demand balance. We are getting to market shares that we wanted, and we will continue to supply the growth of the market with our production, which we think we will continue to improve on the cost.
Perfect. Perhaps one more question, if I may. You mentioned that you guys are seeing more of an improvement in potash demand in Brazil so far this year. What are you seeing down there that's really contributed to the resurgence in demand, and how sustainable do you view this as?
Regarding potash, as you know, we are really volume and price takers. We will sell less this year, close to 15% less than previous year, because we are putting more efforts on our lithium production. So what we do in this market is that we are followers. We follow what is going on and what the big guys are doing. The most important thing right now for us is to see what happened with the next agreement with the Chinese, which is not ready yet. When we see what the Chinese will sign with the main producer, we will see have more visibility for the future. But in the last quarter, as you indicated, we have seen price recoveries and more demand in Brazil, basically because of the requirements on the crops, and we feel that this could continue in the rest of the year. But again, the most important thing for the big picture will be to see what happened with the Chinese.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Andrew McCarthy from Citi. Please go ahead with your question.
Oh, hi, good morning, everyone, and thanks for the call and the questions. On the lithium expansion in Chile, I was wondering if you could provide any more detail on whether you need to get any sort of agreements made with Corfo to enable you to do this expansion, or any environmental approvals, or also apart from with Corfo, with the CGEN as well, whether you need to make any adjustments there as to how much you can extract under annual quotas. And my second question is also on the lithium expansion, whether you can add some more color on you know, exactly where you're doing the expansion. Is it both in terms of the extraction in the Salar de Atacama and also at the conversion plant at the Salar del Carmen, and also whether that will change the amount of lithium carbonate and or lithium hydroxide that you'll be able to produce going forward? Many thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Basically, what we have in our Corfo contract is a total amount for that we can produce and sell of lithium in the total life of the contract, which we have used already in the previous 20 years that we have been operating, close to 60%. So we have 40% less. So we don't need any specific new approval or requirement from this agreement. Regarding environmental, yes, like any new project, this need to be to have environmental approval, which we have been working already for some time, and we expect it to have it in the next month, and in order to be able to accomplish with our target time of being able to have the project ready by the end of next year. And then we don't need any other requirement from regulatory authorities on that. Regarding where the project will be done, this is basically an addition to our actual plan, a conversion plan in Salar del Carmen, where we do have our actual capacity for 48,000 tons, and then we are able to get this lower capex for this amount of new volume because, of course, is the bottlenecking and including additional equipment in the same plant. We don't need to do any important change in our traction or Salar de Atacama operation because we are already getting those brines for that we are reinjecting, and we use only the potash now.
That's very clear. Thanks very much. And just one final point or question, if I may. You mentioned that the for the current higher lithium production that you're doing at the moment, you're expecting to cut potash output in the order of 15%. I was just wondering if that would have any knock-on consequences for the potassium nitrate business, whether that would also therefore see reduction in volumes in the next year or so. Thanks.
No, but basically our main objective when we produce potassium chloride is, of course, or potash, is of course as a raw material, as a very low cost raw material for our potassium nitrate business. So that will not be affected. And of course we are increasing our sales and we expect to increase some of our sales in potassium nitrate. So we will use more potassium chloride for that production. So it will be not affected at all. And then the net reduction in sales in potassium chloride as potassium chloride will be in the range of 200,000 to 250,000 tons if you compare with last year.
Great. Thanks very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. Our next question comes from David Wang from Morningstar. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. Patricio, I just had a question on that lithium project and then a follow-up. It looks like it's only going to be about $3.3 million per ton in capital intensity, and it looks like this is compared to, you know, your peer in Chile of a far more capital intensive, say $10 million or so per ton. What's driving the difference between why this project is so, you know, relatively capital light? Maybe you touched on it a little bit in the previous answer. And then a second question, follow-up is, you know, how quickly will it be able to ramp up? I think you mentioned that it should be completed by 2018, but should we expect a further delay beyond that as the brine needs to go through the entire evaporation and processing conditions? And then maybe if I can follow up, with higher lithium production and finite amount of lithium that you can extract, it seems like this would decrease the number of years that you can extract at this level. Does this mean that you have a better expectation for future growth in lithium, say with a resolution of arbitration of Corfo? Does it make you more optimistic about where the total volumes can be heading longer term?
Okay, thank you, David. Quite a long question. I will try to remember it all. Well, the first part, of course, is a very low capital intensive, as I answered the previous question, and this is because this is changes in our actual plan. We are using a lot of the infrastructure that is in place, and we are also debottlenecking part of the plants and putting some additional equipment in order to be able to increase the amount that we are increasing. We think that even some of the production could be by middle year of next year and the total by the end. So we are, that will depend on the implementation that we will be doing. Of course, as I indicated before, we have a total amount in the actual condition of the contract. So if we produce more in the beginning of the years, then of course we will have less year to produce lithium in the contract, and we think that this is a good decision from our part to do it. But we also have to think that we expect that we will have a solution with Corfo that will benefit the country, will benefit Corfo, and will benefit us. We look forward to have sooner than later a solution on that. And at the same time, being an important player in the lithium industry and having seen what is the demand projection for the lithium industry, we of course are developing our project in Argentina that should be in operation in 2019. in the first stage of 35,000 tons, and immediately after that probably start the second stage of 25,000 tons additional. We continue to look for other opportunities. We, as a company, think that we have an important opportunity in this business line, but at the same time a responsibility with our customer to supply them in this growth stage.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one. And we do have an additional question from Chris DeMoss from BCMI Research. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. Last September, Tianji Lithium was quite excited to buy some shares from Sailing Stone Capital. But the most recent reports are that they're going to be pursued. Hello?
Can you please repeat your question? We cannot hear anything.
We cannot hear.
Okay, I'll try and speak more clearly. And my wife is here. She's fluent in Spanish, so she can translate. Is Tianji Lithium giving up on buying more SQM, and has the Chilean government expressed that lithium is a strategic asset that can't be sold?
Chris, I'm sorry. We were not able. It seems that there is a problem with your phone. We cannot understand your question.
Okay.
If you want, later on you can reach us over email, and we will try to help you with your concerns.
And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, and showing no additional questions, I'd like to turn the call back over to management for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us on our next conference call. Goodbye, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. We do thank you for attending.
Thank you.
You may now disconnect your lines.